Wow. Of all the gospel accounts of the resurrection, Matthew's has to be my favorite. It is so full of action and detail and emotion. It just vibrates on the page. But I have a question. Why did the stone need to be rolled away? We know that Jesus, in his resurrected body, appeared before the disciples through locked doors, through walls. He didn't need the stone removed. So why did the stone need to be rolled away? Well, let's take a look at this text that Dave just read for us and see some of that excitement in the text. It starts off calmly enough. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. It's peaceful. Toward dawn of the first day of the week, and the Marys are coming to sit Shiva. It's a tradition in Judaism where they spend a week with the body of the beloved that has passed on. But then, verse 2 starts with a bang. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. This, all heaven breaks loose, right? At this point, this angel comes down, and the descriptions, it's like something straight out of the book of Daniel. And then he nonchalantly takes a seat on the stone that had been rolled away. This angel coming down with power, rolling the stone, and then sits. Because the work is done. His participation in this revelation is over. It's just a picture of contrasts. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. We look at this. The earth has shuddered under the majesty, over the awesomeness of what has just happened. And this angel sits. And it is something out of Daniel. Seriously, Daniel 10:6, his face is like lightning. Daniel 7:9, the Ancient of Days is described of having clothes like white snow. And if we look back a little bit further in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 17, verse 2, we read about the transfiguration of the Lord. Do you remember this? When Jesus went up on the mountain, and it's like the veil was parted for a moment, and these three disciples got a picture of their teacher in a way they had never seen him before. Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Jesus, his face was as bright as the sun, and his clothes were as white as snow. Which makes sense. If you think about it, the transfiguration, that moment, the transfiguration was a sneak peek of what was to come. It was a foreshadowing of the resurrection. So here comes this angel in this resurrection event, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Matthew is having fun with language here. The Greek word for earthquake in verse 2 is seismos. And here, the guards trembled. Saeo. It's the same root word. The earthquake and the guards. I mean, if I could use some vernacular of the day, the earth shook and the guards were shook. And they were like dead men. They fell over in a dead faint. Think about this for a second. These were Roman guards. These were the elite of the legion. They were trained to stand and never fall down. And you can bet if anyone approached that tomb with any intent to raid it or to rob it or sneak the body of Jesus away, they would have stopped them. But who can stand against God himself? And there's an irony here in the text, too. One commentator, Hagner, says this: the ones assigned to guard the dead are now as if they were dead, and the one that was dead has been made alive. They are laying there like corpses. And Jesus, he's nowhere to be seen. Why? Well, let's look at verse 5. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." As always, the angel comes, and the only reaction to an angelic appearance is fear. Who wouldn't be afraid? I would like you to notice, though, these brave Roman soldiers, they fell in a dead faint. The two Marys are still standing. And the angel comes and reassures them, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel points them to what is true. There's a little bit of a rebuke here. There's a little bit of a challenge to the Marys, because it's as if the angel is saying, you've come here. You've come here to sit Shiva with a corpse, but he's not here. He's risen. He told you that this would happen, and you failed to take notice, or you didn't understand. He isn't here. Come, see the place where he lay. The angel now points them to the empty tomb. Jesus isn't there. The resurrection has already occurred. The stone has been rolled away. And I asked at the beginning, why did the stone need to be rolled away? Jesus didn't need for it to be rolled away. It was rolled away so that the women and others could see. We just have 10 short verses here. And it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of the resurrection and the earthquake and the appearance of an angel. But I don't want us to miss something that is repeated over and over in this text. This text is about seeing. Verse 1, the women came to see the tomb. Now the angel points, "Come, see the place where he lay." The stone was rolled away so that they might see. He has risen. God has raised Jesus from the dead. He is gone. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I want to pause for a second. It says fear, and that's the right word. But the fear at the beginning, the fear that the guards felt, that was this fear of terror. But now the women, that word can also be translated as awe. When we stand in fear of our God and we understand who he is and what he has done and that he has called us into a relationship with him, that fear remains, but its character changes to awe, to worship. And so they leave with fear or awe and great joy. This isn't the first time in the book of Matthew that we see the expression great joy. The wise men, when they came to the place that the star had led them, experienced great joy. So here at the beginning and the end of Jesus' life, there is great joy. Here at the beginning of Jesus' life, an angel comes and talks to Mary and says the same thing, "Do not be afraid," and then points her to the truth. And here at the end, at the resurrection, an angel appears, "Do not be afraid," and points them to the truth. The same truth. One is coming who is the Son of God, who will be Messiah. The announcement and the fulfillment in the resurrection. So they departed quickly, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, we've seen the word behold a few times now. What does behold mean? It means to see, to look with intention. This text is about seeing. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." These women are the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. In the first century, women were not allowed to be witnesses. They weren't allowed to testify, yet God has chosen these women to be the first witnesses to the resurrection. And now, they have become divinely appointed heralds for the gospel. He is risen. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Oh my goodness, it is so easy to walk right by this passage without seeing. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The disciples scattered. Peter denied Jesus. The other disciples, when he was arrested in the garden, fled like rats off a sinking ship. They were nowhere to be seen. They're still scattered. As far as they know, this teacher that they had followed, he's in the ground, he's dead, and now they are his known associates. Their lives are in danger. They've gone and they've hidden. But Jesus did say to them, "We'll get back together in Galilee." And now he's fulfilling that promise. But here's what I don't want us to miss. Go and tell my Adelphoi, my brothers and sisters. This is a term of affection and relationship. They have been restored before they've even had an opportunity to repent. This is the beauty of the gospel. We read in Romans that while we were still sinners, God sent his only Son to pay for our sins. While we were enemies of God, God showed us the ultimate act of love and sacrifice so that we might have a relationship with him. So I ask the question again, why did the stone need to be rolled away? The stone was rolled away so that the women could see. The stone was rolled away so others could look into the empty tomb and see precisely that. It was empty. The resurrection has occurred. He is no longer in the ground. In fact, he's meeting them on the road to Galilee, and then he meets them again. Jesus is risen. So now, instead of asking the question, why did the stone need to be rolled away? What stones need to be rolled away in order for you to see the resurrection power of God in your life? Yes, this passage is full of thunder and lightning and quaking earth and divine presence. But I want you to see, verse 1, Mary and Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel came and said, "I know that you seek, but you're seeking a corpse. He's not here. Come, see the place. Go to Galilee. There you'll see him. See, I have told you." So they left, and behold, Jesus met them. And he told them to tell the rest to come to Galilee so they might see him there. This passage is about having eyes to see. So if you are watching this right now, you most likely fall into one of two camps. You fall into the camp of those who see him, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, fully human and fully divine, and that he came in order to pay the debt for our sins, something that none of us could do on our own. And you have received this gift of salvation freely given to you. Or you belong in the camp of, I have heard of this Jesus. I know the gospel. I've heard it a million times. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true. Or I desperately wish I believed it were true, but I just don't know. One of these two camps. Well, the message that I want to give you this morning is for both of you. For those who have been given eyes to see and those who don't want to see or are struggling to see. The message this morning is the answer to that question. What stones do you need rolled away in order to see the resurrection power of God in your life? Have you made God too small so that he's not big enough to take care of you, to provide for you? Particularly now as we are wrestling with this COVID-19 pandemic that has caused the world to come to a grinding halt. 97% of the citizens of this country are under some form of stay-at-home order. Talk about something that can ignite fear or anger. Our finances are in peril. Our jobs are at risk. Our health is in danger. There's a lot going on right now. God, he is not surprised by this. He's got this. So what is it that's preventing you from seeing the empty tomb? The God who can bring back the dead to life. And I want to highlight something here. This was no mere resuscitation. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but then he died again. Elijah rose someone from the dead, but that one died again. Those are resuscitations. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus is still alive. And that's a picture of our hope. It's life everlasting. What is in the way that prevents you from believing the fullness of what God might have for you? And for those in the other camp who won't believe, don't believe, can't believe, struggle to believe, what stones do you need rolled away in order to see? Maybe for the first time. Is it fear? The message that you hear in this passage over and over again is, do not be afraid. Who has the authority to say that? Who has the authority with credibility to say, do not be afraid? Well, as we are facing this pandemic, we look to doctors, as well we should. But a doctor can't say, do not be afraid, because they don't know the future. They don't know what's coming next. Now, I'm not saying that we can't receive comfort from our doctors and that we can't comfort one another. Here's what I want to say. The one who has authority to say, do not be afraid, is the one who holds all of creation in his hand. The God who created life itself. The God who knows all things that have ever been, all things that are all things that ever will be, all things that might have been, all things that could be. This God can say, do not be afraid, with authority. And that's the message from the text this Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday. If fear is what is holding you back, do not be afraid. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not an assurance that nothing will go wrong. Things often do. This is not an assurance that everything will turn out for the best. Because let's be honest, they rarely do. Here's what it is, though. It is an assurance that whatever may happen to us, whatever the day might hold, God has the power to strengthen us and to hold us up. We face nothing alone. God is with us. There is nothing He does not see. No encounter that you may face, no trial, no struggle is greater than God's love. Ultimately, God gets the last word. We're in this strange place in history where we can see what's gone before and we know how the whole thing is going to play out, but we're in this parentheses of uncertainty. We know how it's going to end, but the questions of tomorrow loom large in our mind. God gets the last word. Do not be afraid. Is it your past? Is it your past that holds you back? Is that your past the stone that needs to be rolled away so that you might see? Well, Stenerik, you don't know what I've done. You don't know who I've hurt. You don't know what I've thought. You're right, I don't. But here's something I do know. There is nothing in your past that makes it impossible for God to redeem you, to restore you to fellowship with Him, to save you through the work of His Son. Well, maybe it's not the past. Maybe it's the right now. I can't trust Him. I can't see. I can't believe this is true for me because I am living in a way right now that I know is wrong. Maybe you don't even want to stop, but you know it's wrong. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Look at verse 10 again. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee, and they will see me. He restored them to fellowship before they had a chance to repent. If we had to clean ourselves up so that Jesus might save us, none of us would be saved. While we were sinners, God showed His love for us in this. Your past, your present, you can't out-sin the grace of God. The work of Jesus Christ on that cross is sufficient. So maybe it's not your past, maybe it's not your present, maybe it's your questions. There are too many questions and you're not finding the answers you like or you understand. You don't need to have the answers to all of your questions. If that's what you need, I have bad news. There are no answers to all of the questions that any of us can possess. But we don't need to know the answers because we can know the one who is the answer. And the one who truly knows all the answers. I question, even if we were given all of the answers, that we would be able to understand them. The stone was rolled away from the tomb so that people might see. I invite you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to roll the stone away. Whatever it is that is preventing you from believing and trusting and finding peace even in chaos and uncertainty. Whatever it is that is stopping you from believing the truth of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Whatever that stone may be, rolling that stone away was like nothing. God desires to have a relationship with you. And in the mathematical equation of God and us, only Jesus, the Son of God, was able to stand in that place and to pay the price, to be the bridge so that we might have fellowship with God. The gospel does not die on the cross. The gospel is seen in our resurrection hope. He is risen. Alleluia. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you as men and women with so many questions, men and women who so often stumble about in the dark, thinking that we are knowing what the light is. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, in our minds, so that we might see, so that we might behold, so that we might know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Death could not hold him. He died to defeat sin, and he rose, defeating death, and he is coming again. We have a hope. The peace and the justice we hunger and thirst for, we can have a taste of it now, and we know it will come in fullness when the Son returns. So this Resurrection Sunday, as we are gathered in our homes, we gather together as a church, praying that your Son would return soon. But we pray as he taught us to pray, not our will, but yours be done. May your Spirit give us eyes to see. May the stones be rolled away so that we can live in the light of what it means to serve a resurrected Savior. We pray this in his mighty name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.